Hello, this is the Weekly Astrology Forecast, and this is your host, Shelley Antine, speaking to you about the week beginning Monday, May 16th, and ending on Sunday, the 22nd of May. And of course, on Monday the 16th, in the Eastern Time Zone at 12:14 a.m., we have the completion of the lunar eclipse. So we're on that day with the lunar eclipse having occurred, but you know, the memory lingers on, and if you have been noticing that this Scorpio full moon lunar eclipse is a tad observable in your life even before the eclipse came in, it's not a surprise because it's a very strong message coming in for us now. And so it's a moon also that is traditionally known as the Wesak in Tibetan lands. This is the Buddha's birthday, and in the Wesak festival, this full moon would be when the Buddha comes to give the message. And if you happen to be into that idea, then you can sit quietly in meditation during this time at 12:14 a.m. approaches on the 16th Monday, and open up to imagine yourself in a valley in the Himalayas where people are gathering physically and not physically and awaiting the arrival of the message. I've done this quite a few times in my life when I could do it, because the full moon doesn't always happen when I want to be awake or I'm not outside doing something else. So you do get something. I can guarantee you, you might not understand what it is, and sometimes it's just a word or two, but it will be meaningful. So just to mention that, because I haven't mentioned it in any of the other material I did on the eclipse. Of course, there is a podcast specifically on this eclipse, which you can get on the blog page at shellyantine.com. I almost used my old website name because it was with me for a long time. Anyway, that is worth listening to if you have not already listened to it, even though Monday morning the eclipse is over. Again, 6 month sphere of influence. It is a good idea to know what the whole message is being given. I think it's really very positive if we're working on our own relationship to power, you know. And I was on looking at Facebook this morning, and somebody was posting a point of view, of course, because that's what Facebook does. It gives people opportunities to express their point of view about the Johnny Depp Amber Heard experience extravaganza in the courtroom going on now. And this person was talking about being more involved with supportive energy for a woman, Amber Heard, who has lived with somebody who had a substance abuse problem, Johnny Depp. And one of the things that I mentioned when I, you know, agreed with her about that type of life not being a good one was that one of the things we're looking at is the negativity bounce back boomerang of having an experience, whether she was completely innocent or not, and then having the desire for vendetta. I'm going to make you pay for this. I'm going to make you suffer. This is Scorpio at its worst. You know, really, it's like, ew. So it seems so appropriate that this trial is taking place at this time, and it is the moon that is being eclipsed. Most of this trial is about, you know, getting her to experience the result of vendetta. So saying this, look at your own life. If you have issues with somebody, how are you going to approach it? And how will you deal with it so that something constructive can come instead of something destructive? which is the Scorpio South Node and the eclipsed energy. We're learning this, how, especially females, because this is a lunar eclipse, how do we stand up for ourselves? Because we weren't really given that, in my age group, opportunity to feel that it was okay to be standing strong in your principles and stuff without being aggressive about it. So that's the way the week starts off. And you can find out, if you don't know, where this lunar eclipse took place and whether you had any planetary aspect to it, because that's where you're going to feel it the most if you get a reading. So, you know, I do those. So Monday, and we go into the morning energy, though, with the Scorpio moon in the sextil to retrograde Pluto, which is the ruler of Scorpio, of course, in Capricorn. And that completes before sunrise in Eastern time. It's 5:28 a.m. And so there is this feeling that's coming in dreams and overnight, that let's look at what we've built. Let's look at our achievements. Let's look at how it has panned out for us. Is it making us happy, or is this something that needs to shift and change? And there is that message you may wake up with. And in the morning, the moon enters Sagittarius at 7:50 a.m. and goes immediately into a trine with Jupiter in Aries, 9:34 a.m. So we're still under full phase energy. So the feelings and responses are very strong. So here you have this positive moon trine Jupiter. Also, though, is Sagittarius to Aries, which can bring forth the warrior spirit very, very much so. But hopefully it is being directed in, again, a positive, helpful way with that trine energy, 9:34 a.m. After this, it's not as easy to dialogue and discuss with moon in Sagittarius opposing retrograde Mercury in Gemini until 1:19 p.m. Eastern time. So take a breather for that part of the morning and into the lunch hours. And then plan to move forward again and connect with others in meaningful ways after this, because you're having a long time to have the moon in Sag trine Venus in Aries. In fact, it goes all the way till Tuesday at 1:31 a.m. Eastern. So this is when you can be plotting and planning your adventures, starting to move forward with things that you are already involved with, naturally, because we are in the retrograde Mercury. But once this is over, there's 20 minutes of moon square Mars. So that means until 11:51. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see that little P. This is a long one, too. This is a long time after this nice, lovely Venus trine, moon in Sag, square Mars in Pisces. 11:51 p.m. with the square to Neptune coming at 11:59 p.m. And that's because this week we have the exact conjunction of Mars to Neptune in Pisces. Okay, so they're very close together. So the square to Mars, the square to Neptune within 8 minutes. All right, and so that is a foreshadowing. The actual conjunction takes place at 2:33 a.m. on Wednesday. But as this is coming in, you know, the moon in Sagittarius is very involved with travel and expansion of actual location. I mean, it's very hard for moon in Sag to sit still. But also it has an instinctive response to speak what it believes is truth into the void, and not even into the void. But, you know, Mars and Pisces, very frustrating for Sag, because they're not direct. Mars in Pisces is really kind of passive-aggressive type energy, And so they may not even know it themselves. This is one of the things I learned about that diagnosis from a psychiatrist friend. It's like a split off in the being. So it's very hard to confront people who aren't taking clear action or are wavering in their action, or they're not showing up like they need to. But Moon in Sag is going to go after it, and it won't work well. Won't work at all. And then there's that little bit of confusion with the Moon square Neptune. Sagittarius gets itself back on course because it goes from this 11:59 p.m. also almost immediately into a sextile to Saturn in Aquarius. Same time, 11:59 p.m., but just slightly different. Saturn's just a little bit further along in its sign than Neptune is. So you have this, you know, course correction, let's put it that way, for the Moon in Sag to take into the overnight. But again, that Mars Neptune, people in the astrological community have worried about this a lot. Because Mars is war, and Neptune and Pisces, they have to do with chemicals and toxic substances and stuff like that. So inflammatory infections and stuff like that. So knowing this, one thing I'd be inclined to do would be not to be out and about too much where you might run into infections of any kind on Tuesday and into that early morning hours of Wednesday. I mean, that 2:33 a.m. Eastern is 11:33 p.m. Pacific time, so it's still on Tuesday for that conjunction to come in. And, you know, to be aware of your own, you know, contact to not really understanding where you're going or, you know, what's happening around you, or not knowing how to express your feelings with clarity. So that is, again, something that the astrologers have been noticing. And that is when the completion occurs. And so we have overnight hours with a void of course Sagittarius Moon until the Moon enters the stabilized sign of Capricorn at 8:02 a.m. on Wednesday, the 18th. But it's going square Jupiter and Aries until 10:21 a.m. And so there is a tendency to overdo. And there may be people who are trying to rush things along, and the Moon in Capricorn doesn't do that. Capricorn is a cautious sign. It wants to be sure its foot is on solid ground before it moves. And so the lunar instinct here is to be conservative. Don't rush into anything. Jupiter in Aries wants to rush into everything. So this is where you are. And it could be difficult if you're traveling around and stuff. But when we get past 10:21 a.m. now, we have a long time for the Moon to travel to the trine to Uranus and Taurus. That happens Thursday morning at 9:16 a.m. And while that's happening, the Sun in Taurus is trine Pluto, retrograde in Capricorn, until 8:11 a.m. So once we get past that square to Jupiter, we can start looking at, again, the things that we may want to keep in our lives, the things that we may want to alter in our lives. And of course, since it's a Mercury retrograde, this is a good way to use your mind, is going back in to see what kind of changes could I make, not necessarily implementing them yet, unless you've already been around that idea for a while before the Mercury retrograde. But after 9:16 a.m. on Thursday, Capricorn Moon will square Venus in Aries until 4:02 p.m. Very similar energy, maybe not as expansive as having the Jupiter there, but still, it's somebody who is not in alignment with the caution light and wants to be out there and is really more focused on self than, you know, looking at what would work here, you know. So that's an afternoon that's not volatile in the sense of necessarily having arguments come up, but it won't feel easy. So if you're with other people, there can be that idea that somebody is like just looking at their own desires and not looking at the program in general. But once we go past this square at 4:02 p.m., we have the moon going into the nice, lovely, gentle sextile to Neptune in Pisces, so we can be creative, we can feel more relaxed, you know, we can decide to look at our spirituality a little bit, or bring in some less than practical, but perhaps important psychic experience, yeah. And also we have retrograde Mercury in Gemini going sextile Jupiter in Aries at 9:33 p.m., which could be a lot of laughter. In fact, pursuing laughter might not be a bad idea. So instead of watching stuff that's, you know, somber or full of war and stuff, look for something funny because you'll enjoy it with that Mercury sextile Jupiter. That'll be fun. Going into Friday, we have the Capricorn Moon sextiles Mars in Pisces, 3:07 a.m. Eastern, and that is, you know, probably dream time for the East Coast. It's 12:07 a.m. on the West Coast, and so you may be under that, but this is where the Mars in Pisces will maybe give a little bit more credence to some of the direction and guidance from the moon in Capricorn and what they're supposed to be doing now. Right at the time that the sun is rising, we have, in the East Coast, we have the moon joined to Pluto in Capricorn retrograde, 6:24 a.m. is when that comes in, and that is always going to be positive if you're working on looking back at things and going over stuff that has been changing and what you need to do, and then you can apply that. But it's also when Moon is joined to Pluto, you can become obsessive in your feelings about things. So be aware of that. If you wake up in obsessive land, see if you can do some breathing or something and allow yourself to relax. Relax. And you will maybe find yourself easily relaxing when the moon in Capricorn is trine sun in Taurus. 8 a.m. exact is when it completes on Friday morning. And this is the harmony of the lights with the perfect flow between that inner instinctive feeling, immediate response of the moon, and the conscious desires to express of the sun. So, and this is also a time if you happen to be dealing with other people where things may look very harmonious, very nice. 8:53 a.m. is when the void, of course, Capricorn moon shifts to Aquarius. And at 11:11 a.m., Eastern, we get moon in Aquarius, trine retrograde, Mercury in Gemini. So this is a time where conversations with friends or ideas about the future may be being discussed or gone back over or something like that. You may be reconnecting to somebody at that point. And shortly after that, moon in Aquarius, sextile Jupiter in Aries, 11:54 a.m., we have big ideas. Oh, boy. And we want to go for them. That's basically how it feels. And after that, the lunar aspect is going to come in on Saturday, the 21st at 11:16 a.m., and it's a square from Aquarius Moon to Uranus and Taurus. So with those kinds of aspects, you'll feel it more in the morning on Saturday. But if you're looking to achieve something that is going to be stable and agreed upon, it wouldn't happen, okay, even if it's being discussed on Friday, once this aspect is on the way. The moon tells the tale, as we were taught many years ago, And that's why I always focus on the moon, because it is going to show up in some way or other. So it's even going toward it. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It's the next step. So it's the first thing in the story. And that is a change. And that is also a very different point of view of values and what should be done in the future, etc. So this is not the time to get into that. Meanwhile, on Friday, back to Friday, the sun enters Gemini at 9:23 p.m., so we are starting to move out of Taurus land, you know, pretty soon. We'll be in Gemini land, but right now, it's the sun and the Mercury retrograde. So the sun in Gemini brings in this feeling that we get in that early part of the agricultural calendar says is summer, where we want to be on these little trips that we want to take around and see new things and take the road less traveled and get lots of information. And, you know, things are very active in the neighborhood. And, you know, if you were living in the northern, you know, you're just starting to come out of winter, really. It's amazing in terms of weather. And but here, you know, you're going to see the babies, the bird babies are going to be moving around for the first time in their environment. So that's going to be a stimulation, Gemini, after Taurus. And so, you know, and people wanting to take classes and this and that, you know. And it's funny because a lot of people will tend to want to get married under, you know, when they talk about June brides. I mean, we're at the end of May here when it comes in. But there is this image of the two, the Gemini with the two lines connecting at the top and bottom. So it's a time of, you know, the meeting of the minds doesn't take place necessarily. There's a higher mind and a lower mind in the sign of Gemini. And the lower mind is the one we need, which is why we get upset with Mercury retrograde, to navigate our existence. And it's funny. It seems like almost every Mercury retrograde has a slightly different theme for me. And it seems to keep that theme until it's over. But at any rate, the sun's coming in, and, you know, this whole idea of trying to do a lot of different things. I mean, multitask is, you know, an air sign issue, and Gemini is definitely into doing two things, you know. So you'll be feeling more of that. You may have to focus in a little bit more, especially because Mercury's retrograde, ruler of Gemini. So, the sun will join retrograde Mercury in Gemini on Saturday at 3:18 p.m. So, here again, you may be going back over some conversations or some ideas and seeing what has value. Because why are we seeing what has value and what's authentically ourselves? Well, it's because we're in the third quarter phase of the cycle, the lunar cycle, and that's when we start doing that, all right? And so we've been in that this week. So we have, after the square to Uranus and Taurus at 11:16 a.m., a delightful Saturday with Moon in Aquarius, sextal Venus in Aries until 10:40 p.m. That's fun. If you want to go on adventure and have some new ideas and new experiences, that would be the time. So, you know, Saturday afternoon and evening in the East Coast, Moon in Aquarius, sextal Venus in Aries. And if you actually went out there and you were looking maybe to meet somebody, I don't know if people do that with COVID now. No, I know they do, actually. I live in South Carolina. This would be a time to possibly run into somebody that is at least interesting for this point in time. Moon in Aquarius, though, is going to have to join Saturn in her cycle as long as Saturn's in Aquarius, and she does that after the sextile to Venus. So things may take a downward spiral in several ways, as that's coming in until 3:19 a.m. So if you've overdone it, you may be feeling tired, or you may not have good news at that point, and or have something that makes you feel less optimistic, particularly about the future. But this is going to pass. Don't dwell there. There will be a void, of course, moon in Aquarius on Sunday the 22nd. And this is an important day. In the morning, the moon in Pisces comes in 11:49 a.m. and then squares retrograde Mercury in Gemini 12:12 p.m. and then squares Sun in Gemini 2:43 p.m. And this is when we enter the fourth quarter phase, where we start to go into the releasing and, you know, knowing what we want to change for the next cycle. So this is also a time when it is difficult for the Gemini energy, because Pisces is drifting and, you know, in the land of feelings and psychic energies and stuff like that, while, you know, maybe Mercury is trying to have a logical, analytical conversation, and the Sun might be also, but it doesn't work. So, you know, oh well. Things will improve in a lunar way for a moon in Pisces, because the next aspect that comes in on Monday, the 23rd, is the sextile to Uranus and Taurus. So we start looking, and we get input from both the psychic level, which is Pisces, and the intuitive level, which is Aquarius Uranus. So we can get some good things to look at for the fourth quarter. And at 9:15 p.m. on Sunday the 22nd, Mercury retrogrades back into Taurus. So I did the whole thing on the Mercury retrograde, so you know the dates, and you know it'll only go back a little bit into Taurus, but we know that we're looking at stuff from the past, and some of these ideas maybe also that had to do with finance or real estate or even gardening. So we go back into more of that mode with the mind, and it won't be for very long. Because, you know, Mercury will go direct on the 3rd of June. And so it will go forward in Taurus, and then it will re-enter Gemini, and that will be on the 13th of June. So, I mean, it's, you know, the retrograding Taurus energy and then the direct Taurus energy, but not a whole cycle of it. So where we are when we end the week is with a new Mercury sign and the impending positive opportunity aspect coming in, and also the Sun in Gemini going into sextile to Jupiter in Aries. And that's what we wake up to on that Monday, the 23rd. Optimism. Optimism is a good idea, not false optimism or false hope, but being able to look at life and see the positives and not just the negatives is a good thing. So at that point, we may find ourselves able to and even brimming over with the optimistic point of view. And so when we get to next week's forecast, we're going to watch Mars shift into Aries and Venus shift into Taurus. So both of these planets will be in their own sign of rulership. So they're going to be very, very strong for a while, both Mars and Venus. So we'll be talking about that in the next week's forecast. So for now, I hope you're doing good processing on the Scorpio full moon lunar eclipse. And I'll say goodbye for now.